Matthew chapter number 5 tonight, Matthew chapter number 5, and we'll read a couple of verses tonight as our text and continue in our series on church health. And I'm thankful for our church, and as we were just reminded by the song that was sung, for our nation, more than conservative policies and politicians, we need churches. And the church makes the difference. And as the church goes, the country goes. And it's not the other way around. And so we need to be reminded of that. And certainly this time of year, as we give gratitude for our country. I haven't said something like this in a while that I can recall. You know, every time it comes around one of our patriotic holidays, as I'll call it, we read a history book every once in a while. And it would be good to say, well, I just don't like to read. Get an audio book, get a comic book or whatever. But the reason why there's a lot of people who think our nation is not what it's ever intended to be is because they don't know our history. And if you don't know the history, you don't know if it's being rewritten. And so it's just an encouragement there. You don't have to read what I read, how I read it, but stay close to your nation's history. Matthew chapter number 5, and we're going to look at verse number 13. Just to remind you very quickly, this healthy church that we want to be. And oftentimes we as Christians, this is one of my main points in this, as Christians sometimes we say, well, how can I contribute? I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. Well, there's a lot of things you can do as a Christian. You can serve, you can pray, you can give as God gives to you, but you can be spiritually healthy. Your spiritual health makes the whole church healthier. And so you need to look at that and say, I want to be a spiritually healthy Christian to help my church. And so the healthier we all are spiritually, the healthier their church is. And so we want to think about that. Matthew 5, look with me at verse number 13. We know our Lord is teaching some things in this great chapter. But look at verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it given light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I want us to take this text tonight, and we're going to look at this aspect in this series. I've given this title tonight, A Healthy Church Shines. A Healthy Church Shines. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we come to you once again, grateful for your many blessings, grateful for what you've already done for us tonight with the fellowship and the music. And Father, we certainly thank you for that. Now we thank you for the Word of God. May it help us tonight. May it challenge us, convict us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's something that we have to be reminded about, certainly as a church, as Christians, there are some things in this world that we want to avoid. If I can say it like this, there's the darkness of this world. As a church, we know that we want to avoid that. But a healthy church is not just avoiding certain things, although I'm for avoiding certain things, but we have the mindset, we have to be reminded that we're to shine the light of Christ into the world. It's not just enough for us to withdraw from the darkness, but we have a responsibility to shine a light into this world. I've said this often, I'll say it tonight, but the darker the day, the brighter the light shines. And you say, well, we're in a day when it's just not the way it used to be. Well, what an opportunity for our light to shine very, very bright. Our light can shine far because it is a dark world. And so as we keep that in mind, as we think about what we're going to talk about tonight, there are things we should pull out of. There are some things that we should avoid as Christians in your home, as a church. But it's more than just that. It is letting the light of Christ shine. And I remind us that God never founded the church with the intention for it to hide from the world. Now, the very definition of a church is a called out assembly. We have been called out of the world because we're not of the world. But that does not mean we hide from the world. And I really believe this, and it's part of the emphasis of the Sunday school lessons that I've written for this year, and even some of the ministries moving forward, how we're doing Sunday school, other ministries we're doing, even the 12 stones, where that's going, the binding of broken heart, the night of hope, all of that. It is taking the gospel, taking the light into the marketplace, taking it into society, and not just with the mindset, we're at 12046 Normandy Boulevard, if you want it, come get it. But the church doesn't have to be a part. I don't have to align myself with the local government for me to have a light that shines. I don't have to align myself with every other religion or every other quote-unquote church in town. I can still be independent of certain things, but God never meant for the church to hide. That's a great tragedy as well, if for a church to only be known for what it's against. There are certain things that we are against, but we should stand against false doctrine, sin, compromise, evil. But if that's all the world knows about us, have we really fulfilled Christ's mission? Now, for some, that's all they're going to know about us because that's the only interaction they've had with us. But for those that live around us, they should know us as something a little more than that. Because the Lord didn't say in this passage of Scripture, you are the critics of the world. You are the correctors of the world. You are the vote registers of the world. Oops, I slipped that in. He said, ye are the light of the world. Light has one purpose, to shine. You know, darkness isn't overcome. Well, I overcame some darkness today. I really made a difference. What'd you do? I argued with it. Boy, I fought the darkness today. What'd you do? Oh, you should have seen the rant against darkness I did on Facebook today. No, how do you overcome darkness? You introduce light to it. If you go home and there's a dark room, you can fuss at that room, you can fuss at the darkness all you want, but the only way it's not going to be dark is for you to introduce light into that room. And if we live in a dark world, let's think about this. The only way for it not to be dark is to introduce the light into it. It's not the light of morality, although morality makes a difference. It's not the light of character, although character makes a difference. It's the light of Christ that makes the difference. Light has one purpose, to shine. It's not complicated. Even if you don't understand, and some of you science nerds could say, Pastor, let me help you with this. This is how light works. And light travels from here, and you have the particles of this and this and this and this and this. If I flip it on, I want the light to come on. If it don't come on, there's a problem there. And so that's what I understand about it. You don't have to understand all of the doctrinal intricacies for you to understand that the light of Christ makes a difference in a dark world. Darkness is overcome by introducing light. So if we want Jacksonville to be less dark, we have to introduce light to it. See, the healthier church becomes, does that light shine brighter or dimmer? Well, we would say easily it becomes brighter. So a healthy church is not just content with the light shining inside the church walls. And people say it all the time, we will take the church to the world. No, that's not what we're taking to the world. We're supposed to take the light of Christ to the world. Well, this is how we're going to do it. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself, but how you do it is the light of Christ shines in you. And so it's not we're going to put together a light campaign. And we're taking the light to here. The light is in you. So where you go is where the light should go. If you're the only one, you may leave here, you may go to a house, you may go to a home today where the people in that home are not saved. It's dark until you walk in there. Where you work, the people there may not be saved. It's dark until you walk in there. Your neighborhood is dark until you are there. Or maybe there's a Christian who's hiding their candle. They're not shining it as it should. There needs to be the light of Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. It is in us. So we can be inside the church. We can have these services where, like, you know, and bless God, we're against this and this and this and those dirty politicians. They're not going to hear that. They're not here. Now, if they invite me to Capitol Hill, that'd be a good time to preach that message. That's not happening. But you get what we're saying. Sometimes it makes us feel good. And once in a while, we as God's people should say, we're against this and just want everybody to know this is where we stand. But if that's all we ever say, that's not projecting the light where it needs to go. I think if we talk about God's mercy, I think the world can resonate. That could resonate in the world. And they understand God's mercy, then they can understand other things. Let me give you the outline tonight. Number one, a healthy church understands its purpose. I've been talking about that in the introduction, but let's get into this. A healthy church understands its purpose. Jesus said, do we believe Christ when he speaks? Are we paying attention? What did he say in this passage of Scripture? He said, ye are the light of the world. Now notice, he did not say you should try to become light. He said, ye are the light. The question is not whether you're the light, I'm the light. The question is whether we're shining. See, there's a lot of Christians, let's be honest tonight, they would come Sunday, I'm ready to shine. Where's my spot so I can shine? And when when one light is in a room with hundreds of other lights, it seems pretty bright. I'm shining on Sunday, Thursday night, Bible study. I'm shining, I'm ready to shine. But we should be shining more than just at church on Sunday. The Bible reminds us we are God's ambassadors each and every day. We, a spiritually healthy church, is full of spiritually healthy Christians who understand this, that God has placed us here strategically as his church together at this point in time in history. Before the foundations of the world, God knew he would create you and give you life. He knew when you would get saved. He knew when you would become part of this church. You thought it was an accident. You drove past this funny building and saw the lights on. You thought it was an accident. You don't know. And matter of fact, some of you still scratch your head. I don't know how I got here. Oh, that's just me when I'm thinking of you. No, it's just I don't know how I got here. God does, because he put us all here at the right time. I'm going to take that light and that light and that light and that light and that light, because Jacksonville, Florida needs the light. This city used to be full of churches that were light. Sad to say, it's not that way anymore. So what does God do? And I think God does this. I think sometimes he centralizes so that light gets very bright. And so that light can light up a city. If it's, you say, well, where's, it's just not the way it used to be. You know, a light can light so bright that it can be seen in other places. See, the question is not tonight, well, I wonder if I'm the light. You are the light. The question is whether or not you're shining. We're shining our light. You know, God did not place our church where in this area, put us here. It's not an accident. It's everything around us. God has placed us here to shine. It's to change our mindset. When you walk into a place of business, stop thinking about it as, this is just where I, you know. No, okay, God put me here, and I got this list, and I don't know what half the stuff on this piece of paper is. God knows I don't know where this is. This is a fine time for my wife to need this one ingredient that I've never heard of. But what are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be the light. If you got to run to Walmart, don't go in your pajamas. That has nothing to do with my Bible study. I just felt like saying that. You get the point I'm making. I don't like where I work. I can't stand where I work. I'm just venting tonight, but change your mindset. God didn't put me here to like this job. Wherever He has me, I'm to be the light to where I am. Because I'm the light of Christ. Oh, the church is the light. We can't have it both ways. The church is the light, but I don't have that responsibility in we are the church. We know we can, the church consists of us. We are to be that light. So we have to understand that is our purpose. When you go to work this week, my purpose is to shine. When I go into the community, it's to shine. You're around family at certain holidays or vacations. They're coming, you're going, whatever. What is it? I'm to shine. This is what Jesus said. I wish I could do something to serve Him. Now, a lot of times what we do is we say that so we can say, well, your light matters, or somebody sees your light. You can do something for Him each and every day. And sometimes we get discouraged and say, nobody's listening. And I've said this to young men who go into these small towns to start a church or take a church, or it could be a big town for that matter. It just seems like nothing gets traction. I say part of it is, yes, you want to build a church, you want to build a work for God, but God still places men and families in dark places so there can He can say there's a light there. So wherever you go, think about it, God put you there. Number two, a healthy church is visible. Now I'm going to get personal, pointed, I don't know, somewhere in the middle about us. Bertani's saying, you've already been personal tonight. Okay, so pointed. He said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. It has often been said about the Emmanuel Baptist Church by others. As far as what we believe is the best kept secret in America. There's a lot of people that have an opinion about this church who, quite frankly, they're not spiritual enough to teach a children's Sunday school class. The deacons I have are more spiritual than some of these pastors are. And people who come by, they see it and it's like, I didn't know this still existed. People who come to our conference for the first time, it's like, if I close my eyes, it feels like pastor school. You say, why is that? Well, a lot of it is, I think, we're just content to enjoy what God's given us, and there's a strength in that. But part of it has we've been intentional enough to let our light shine. Now, let's be honest. There have been people in the surrounding counties that keep trying to put our light out. But God keeps that light lit. And so what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be intentional. So I want you to think about this when we talk about ministries and we talk about the Night of Hope and we talk about the chaplain and Brother Fox did a funeral today. Somebody he's never met before. Two people were saved today. Seven people were saved a week ago in his funerals. What are we doing in this? It's a mindset change. Let's go get them and bring them in. I'm still for that. And you bring them into your Sunday school class. You bring them in here on Sunday. But we're to take we can't be hid any longer. We've got to let that. What are we doing? Are we going on a big advertising campaign and we're going to buy up all the billboards? And could you imagine buying billboards in Jacksonville and in Clay County with my big picture on it? Now that I've mentioned that, we need to, there'd be heads exploding. That's not what we're doing. So what are we doing? We're just taking the light to where it's dark. It's making us visible. We ought to consistently demonstrate Christ. Yes, this church is known and should be known that truth is preached here. We still believe the old King James Bible. But people, if they come here, whether they believe it or not, some of them don't even know what that means. We're still going to love them. and you can be broken, and you can be quote unquote unchurched, and you're still going to be loved here. Some of you, that's why you are still here. You didn't understand the doctrine. You didn't agree with it. You didn't like me. Well, that's not true. You didn't understand it, but you felt loved when you walked in the doors. This is where burdens, you can have your burden. Somebody will share you carrying that burden, not because you're telling the deep, dark secrets, because they're praying for you. They're encouraging you. Christ is exalted here. Our goal is not to make the name of our church famous. It's to make Christ visible. It's to make Him more and more visible. How do we do that? Well, Pastor, we need to have the smoke machines and we need to have the productions. How about we just let our light shine? And by the way, when you have a light that can shine, you don't have to do that. If you're not shining the light of Christ, you have to get attention another way. We ought to be visible with our light. Pastor, not everybody's going to agree with, I know everybody's not going to agree with the Bible. But what people cannot argue with is the light of Christ. And if they see the light of Christ, it will open their hearts and minds to the doctrines that they do not understand. Number three, a healthy church lives consistently. Notice what he says here in verse number 15. He says in 14, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, so therefore we ought to make sure that we're visible. And that's what we're doing. Just to reemphasize that, we are on purpose just going to let our light shine. But then he says in verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. He said, we don't put it under a bushel. What good is light if it is hidden? Number three, a healthy church lives consistently. The church shines not only through the preaching, but daily living. And let me just say, to the world, it shines brighter through the daily living than the preaching. This is what some of you have been saying to your neighbors. You're trying to get them to come to church. You got to come hear our pastor preach. Oh, he's the greatest preacher you'll ever hear preach. His messages are so timely. His humor especially. Oh, it's just on point. If you ever came to hear him preach, you would never want to hear, well, at least that's what I fantasize about y'all saying to your neighbors. You know what? And people need to hear good preaching. But you know what will convince them more than coming to hear the pastor preach his preaching? Your living. Because truth of the matter is, your living can cancel out my preaching. Sometimes you get a neighbor come or somebody who works with you, and it's like, oh, I hope the of all the Sundays, please, Pastor, don't lay an egg today. Well, how's your living been? We have to live consistently. There are places I've grown up here. There are places I do business with. I've done business with. They know me. I know them. They watch. They see. I don't know that I'll do it tonight. A lot of times on Sunday night, we'll stop at the grocery store on the way home. How was church tonight? It was good. What did you preach on? I preached on this, and I'll say something like, I only had three people fall asleep tonight. And they'll laugh, and I'm like, I was serious, you think I'm joking, but. Say, well, why haven't they come? Well, there have been some who've come. But it doesn't, if they don't come, say, what are we going to do? Those, bless God, those non-churchgoers, they ought to come. Well, they're non-churchgoers right now. So how, if we can't get them in here yet, what are we to do? We're to take the light that is in us to them. Now, just because I'm going to let my light shine, you still are commanded to bring your light to church on Sunday. You're still commanded to do the things that you and I are commanded to do. But we must live consistently. If you're talking about, oh, the services were blessed, but then you don't act like a Christian the rest of the time, that's inconsistent. You know, healthy churches understand that our testimony matters. Now, there's the way things are, there's a lot of things said about people. You know, say, well, Pastor, there's a lot of things said about churches like ours. Well, there's a lot of things said about a lot of people. That's just the nature of people. But you know what outshines what people say? Is what you do. Over and over and over and over again. Our inconsistent life can damage ministry in the minds of people. But likewise, a faithful life can open doors. A healthy church lives consistently. That's why if your car does not move on Sunday morning, your neighbor should call the police for a welfare check. If it does not come home, if it's home before, now if you're sick, I understand that. But that's what they ought to do. They ought to say, something's wrong. We need to arrange a meal train. We need to do something. They're there on Sunday morning. They're never there on Sunday morning. What in the world is going on? Because you are so consistent. That shines a light. That says, they expect the pastor to say, you need to be in church on Sunday. Before, for their neighbor every week. That is preaching a message to them, not one they're hearing behind a pulpit, but in a faithful, consistent life. You say, well, my neighbors never, you don't know. They move away and they may get in church. That invitation you gave them that one Easter has got the plan of salvation on it, that God could have used that in their life. I believe there's going to be a lot of people in heaven that we're shocked to see, and likewise, there's going to be people in heaven shocked to see us. But if we boiled it down to it, it'd be like, I just saw your light shine. Every day, every week. Number four, a healthy church brings hope. There's a lot of remarkable things about light if you just studied light in general, but one of the most remarkable is the fact that it does give direction. If you're in the dark and you want to find out, just follow the light. A flashlight, if you have a lantern that gives you the light right there, but that light can point away, can give you direction. That's what light does. How many of you every night, you know the routine. It's bedtime, people starting to go to bed, and it's like, I'm scared of the dark. You got to go get that nightlight for your husband, and you got to plug it in. The fear of that child or whoever, of the dark is not what they're afraid of, it's what they can't see or what they imagine. But when there's that light, it gives some confidence. That light does what? It removes fear. That mother doesn't go and rip the imagination out of their head, that child's head, although they wish they could. But that light gives some confidence. It removes some fear. We live in a world that is dark with confusion. And people are searching for truth. That's why we've got to get the truth out there, because these cults and false doctrine, they're looking for truth, and then they'll latch on to anything that seems to be true. People are searching for purpose. There's a lot of people out there tonight looking for peace, hope. You know what should be the brightest place in the community? It ought to be the church. Not just when we assemble together, but when we go out and we live the lives that we live. You say, well, Pastor, my life hadn't gotten any easier since I started serving God. Well, God didn't promise us it's going to get any easier. He never promises. He promises that he's going to not leave us. He does do that, but he doesn't say it's going to get easier. But it ought to be bright in the community because we have Christ. And that's why this whole health with the light and the light of the world is, if we're healthy, the light is going to shine. If we are spiritually healthy, it's a byproduct. So how can we get into the world? We need somebody to study marketing. We need somebody to do this. And I'm for promotion and being first class and all those kind of things. And we know we should be inviting people. But a byproduct of being spiritually healthy is just the light shining. That costs no money. That doesn't take any professional training. See, there's someone here tonight, you haven't been saved very long or as long as others. You haven't been in church as long as others. And you get intimidated by that. I can't invite, I can't witness, I can't do this, or I don't understand all of this. But all you've got to do is grow spiritually, become a little bit more healthy each and every week, and that light is going to get brighter and brighter. And somebody's going to look at you, they're not going to say, well, I know there's something different. It's because of that theological training that you've been taking. Now, they're just going to look and say, there's some direction. Let me go to where the light is. I'm telling you, the more that our Sunday school revolution, getting those Sunday school classes going, all we're doing is we're just taking that light further and further and further, and people are looking for direction. I could call some of you teachers up here tonight, and you have people in your Sunday school class. Some are in the service tonight, but there's some who haven't even come over to a service yet, but they're in Sunday school every week. And you look at them, I've even seen some of them pop in here in church, and it's like, I'm kind of surprised to see them here. What do you mean by that? Well, I'm just surprised to see some of them here. Why are they here? Because of the light. Because light gives direction. And when we as God's people, we hide, I don't want to intimidate with my light. You know, if you're out in the wilderness and there's people that are lost and it's like, oh, I've got a light, let me shut that off. I don't want them to know that I'm different. I don't want them to feel different. How silly is that? But that's what we do sometimes. We're just supposed to let our light, because what is it? It's hope. If you're lost, it's like, I see a light, there, I have some hope. Or you're on a dark path and you're saying, I see a light. You know, you may find out you walked into a train tunnel, but there's at some point there was hope there. You get what I'm saying? There is, that light brings hope. That's what our light is. They don't need a quote-unquote church as much as they need the light of Christ. They need Him. Because we have Him and we uplift Him and we are doctrinally right, but we have Christ in us. That's the light that they see. We have to be reminded. See, some of you don't look at yourself this way, and some of you will get too big of a head when I say this. You are somebody's hope this week. You say, what do you mean? Somebody needs to see the light of Christ in you. Say, nobody ever acknowledge. I guarantee you this happens. Somebody sees Christ in us, and there's somebody who thinks of their grandmother who's been praying for them for 20 years. They think about a mom who used to take them to Sunday school, and then they left home, and they stopped going. Because they see the light in somebody else. Number five, a healthy church reflects Christ, not itself. Notice there's a progression here in verse number 16. Let your light so shine before men. What is that light? That is light that is in us. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You say, well, Pastor, that sounds like it's us they're looking at, our good works. Anything and everything good that you have and I have is because of Christ. You didn't have the knowledge to clean yourself up. It's the Spirit of God that did it. It's like some of you talk so differently today than you used to talk, if that we're all thankful. Why is that? It's the light of Christ that changes you. And so he wants the world to see, he says, your good works and glorify your Father. The ultimate goal is not to glorify the church. Now, let me say, it's not to glorify the pastor. Now, let me say this. Two things can be true. It's not to glorify the pastor, but people need a pastor. And we're in a lot of trouble in our churches because we have destroyed the office of the pastor in the minds of some people. But it's not to glorify the pastor. And I'll say this, people who don't have a shepherd, a true biblical shepherd, they're missing out. And there's a lot of people, they don't know what they're missing. Not that I'm anything special, but I try and fulfill the biblical role of what a shepherd is. I am not a CEO. I am not an executive, although when you operate a church, a lot of that comes into play, but you know what I'm saying. I don't run everything by Robert's rule of order. I do by Paul's principles of the New Testament church. But it's not to glorify you, me, but Christ. If I lose myself in the office that God has placed me in, nobody will see me. They'll see Christ. They'll walk away, man, that truth tonight was unbelievable. Man, that just did something in my heart. It's not about me, it's about the Word of God. Oh, the special was, oh, the song, it stirred my heart. Who was it? I can't remember who sang it. Which one of them sang that song? But you don't forget the burning that was in your heart when God used it. The purpose of a healthy church is to point people to God. If you came to this, if people come to this church and if you're watching by live stream, God is bringing people to this ministry. He's going to continue to bring people in this ministry. I continue to tell people wherever I go, life's too short to be part of a dead church. If you want to come where God is doing something, have an opportunity to influence a lot of people for Christ, come to the Emmanuel Baptist Church. But don't come if you think you're going to become a celebrity. Don't come if you think that you're going to have your little following and little kingdom, because it ain't about you. Let me say it like this. If it's not about me, it's certainly not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what a healthy church does. Everything we do should answer the same question. Does this help people see Jesus? Now, people can do what they want to do, and I can keep making fun of them, but we're not going to have a smoke machines and a light show. We're not going from a choir to a celebrity wannabe American Idol reject. I'll stop there because the light of Christ is not coming forth out of me. Where we're talking about us and not him. I can tell you, I've been in some meetings and the singer gets up and they can't, not say, did they hit a wrong key? I don't know if they hit a right one. But I could feel the Spirit of God burn inside of here. Now, by the way, I'll say this, We practice in the music ministry here. Let me just throw this out there too. There's some people say, I want to be part of the music ministry. And then you find out you got to show up to practice. It's not just, let me give you testimony hour before I sing a song I haven't practiced before. And we're not doing that. We believe if that's an important part of the service, there ought to be some preparation in that. I don't know what I was even talking about, but that I needed to say that. No, what I'm saying is we don't do anything to be about us. Nothing. That's why in a church like this, there's different reactions. Some people, God does, you know, they agree with something. God speaking to them, they nod their head. Some say, amen. We got some ladies on Sunday morning come, and then it's mm-hmm. I mean, I say, what do you think about that? I like it. Now, some of you men don't need to be doing that, but I like it. There's some that raise a hand. There's some that cry. There's some that, I like it all. As long as it's not about you. If God touches your heart, I'm not getting in the way of that. But if you start taking laps and diving the baptistry, I'm just going to go on a limb and say, I don't think God's in that, because when they leave, they're going to be talking about, did you see so-and-so jump in the baptistry? I don't think God's in that. But you get the point I'm making. We want to reflect Christ. We want people to see Him. Number six, and finally, I got to give you another point so you're not thinking about somebody running and jumping in the baptistry. A healthy church leaves its community different. Here's a sobering question for you as the church, me as the pastor, us together. If our church disappeared tomorrow, would anybody notice? Would anybody notice? I think the answer to that is a resounding yes. Would the school system notice? Would the grieving notice? Would those who feel unloved and they find a place for their love, would they notice? See, a healthy church leaves fingerprints everywhere they go. Don't miss this. They don't leave our fingerprints. They leave the fingerprints of Christ everywhere we go. See, and I know it's a midweek service and not everybody's here, but some of you young men, listen to me. You're not here to make a mark for you. I'm not here to make a mark for me. We're all here to make a mark for Christ. And how do we do that? We want to leave His fingerprints everywhere we go. And so we have to let our light shine so that our community knows we're here. I want people to know it's happened many, many times. People have come to church and gotten saved because they had gone to other churches and said, I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I want to know that. And they're like, I can't help you with that. You want to go to Emmanuel. Now, I'm glad they at least had enough sense to not mess them up and where to send them. You say, that really happens? It's happened more than once. That's because a light shines. That is our goal. That is our responsibility. We want that influence. And let me just say this. That's why it's important. I've looked internally with this, and as a church, it's important for us as a ministry to let that light shine, not hide it under a bushel, because we live in a day where we believe what we believe because it's right, and the world needs to see that. Truthfully, what God has done for us, if this church disappeared tomorrow, the light would disappear in some places around this globe. We don't want to be that flash in the pan. This is the hot church. But what is there to show for it? So Pastor, can we have one of those revivals that does this and this and this? I've studied some of those revivals. And when the tent comes down and they're gone, there's no preachers left behind. The only converts are the ones that got saved again. Where's the fruit of that? The pastor, what are you talking? I'm just saying, as a church, it's that consistent light. Day after day after day after day. See, to be a healthy church, we don't just have the mindset, oh, we just have to exist. Although there are some days all of us is like, I'm just existing today. But as a ministry, it's not, we're just surviving. In this church, God has allowed us to go through some things. But we weren't just surviving, our light was shining. You realize when we went from one property to the tent, to the three services, to the tent, I don't even remember where we went. Then we went, and then we're here. You know, there are people watching saying, what in the world? But that light was shining the whole time. That light was shining the whole time. See, we exist to shine. Say, oh, I don't have any purpose anymore. What are you talking about? Jesus gave, he reminded us all of purpose. You're the light of the world. Until I bring your light home, you're the light of this world. So you're 10, you're 110, anywhere in between. If you're still here, you still have purpose. What is it? To be the light. Well, I used to be the light in a big room, and now it's a small room. Well, that room needs light too. And on the flip side of that, there's some of you, God's got a little bit bigger room that he wants your light in, and you better be willing to surrender to walk into that room. We're called. He doesn't call us to curse the darkness. Man, there's a lot of Baptists. We're good at like, man, look at all that darkness over there. Bless God. It's dark and people can't see in there and it's covering everything up. And I'm not against pointing out what darkness is. But at some point, we've got to stop talking about how dark it is and start thinking, how can I get some light into there? How can we shine a light? Say, well, our country is darkness and it's communism and it's this and it's this. No. It's the darkness of this world. It's man is dark until we have light. I promise you, if you could pull back and if God will pull back the veil and we can see who is lost and saved, there are cities and towns in our country that it would be like the power went out. There's no light. And it does not matter if they're Republican or Democrat heavy areas, because that doesn't matter. What matters is whether there's light or not. Pastor, are you saying that there's Democrats that are saved? I'm also saying there's some Republicans that are going to split hell wide open. Because it's the light. So, we need to get more light on Capitol Hill. I am all for. I'd rather have saved politicians than lost ones. But man, this is just a side note. It's also been my experience that some of the saved ones are some of the biggest problems. Because they're too self-righteous. That's a whole nother. But I think if you're a senator in the United States Senate, you should still go to Sunday school. I think they ought to go to church. I think they, well, they're too important. They're not that important. mean, can you imagine what a difference it would make in our country if all of our politicians went to a Bible-believing church? We have to just decide how bright is my light, and then let our light shine. And see, can I help some of you? Some of you are like, man, my light's not as bright as somebody else's. But let's do it like this. Let's say we went into a pitch black building and we lit 100 candles. Think that would make a difference? We'd have a hard time telling which candle was the brightest, wouldn't you? Because it wouldn't be about each individual candle, how bright is it? You'd be like, look how much light is in this room. And so quit looking at the other candles and saying, is there light brighter than mine? My candle is, no, there's enough darkness in this world that when you walk into that, when God places you in a place, it's going to be as if the sun is shining there. Because when light enters in the darkness, everybody knows. Hey, let's go be light this week. Well, what can I do to make a difference? Be light. Be light. Let your light shine. Do we know that kids' song, This Little Light of Mine? Should we all sing it to close it out? No. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. What's it saying? Satan tries to blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Is that the one where Satan sits on a tack? Okay, let's see. No. I don't want to offend anybody that I might have Satan sit on a tack. You can make a difference. Make a difference. The world needs to see our light more than it needs to hear our rhetoric. Let your light shine. Father, help us to...